All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the Psalms, to the book of the Psalms, and we'll look tonight specifically at Psalm 92. Psalm 92. And this is 15 verses long, and I'm going to take my thoughts from verse 1, but I'd like to read several verses here. This week is Thanksgiving week. That doesn't seem possible that it is on us as quickly as it is. That means Christmas is just around the corner, and then New Year's, and then we'll be back in preparing for the living cross. So one thing's for sure, time stands still for no one. Amen. So we got to be busy while we got time to work. All right, verse 1, if you'll look at Psalm 92 and verse 1, it says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord." It's a good thing. How many times did you hear your mom say or your dad say, "Oh, that's not going to hurt you"? Huh? Did your mom and dad ever say that to you? "Oh, I don't want to do that." "Well, that's not going to hurt you." There are some things that are just good for you. I remember one time my mom took, there was a couple ladies in our community, and they went over to the community college, and they took a cooking class. And we were the guinea pigs. Yeah. And she came home all excited, and she was going to make this souffle. And we, of course, you know, No. Let's have beans and potatoes and some pork chops. I mean, let's eat the good stuff. And she had this souffle, and we made up our mind we didn't like it before she ever got it out of the oven. And she sat it on the table and started griping. We started griping and complaining. And my dad got on her side real quick and said, "Now you boys sit up there and eat that." And I said, "I don't like it." And Dad said, "You haven't even tasted it yet." And I said, "No, but I can smell it, and I don't like it." And it was on. I mean, it was on. Battle of the wills. And that was the day when my dad said, "There are starving children in Africa that would love to have that to eat." And that's when I looked at him and said, "Name one." And that's the last time I ever said that, I'll tell you. Yeah, that sarcasm got me in a world of trouble. Well, I wasn't thankful for the souffle. But the psalmist here said, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And you know, that's what Thanksgiving was originally established for. That was the whole reason behind it. I'm going to read you in just a minute George Washington's bill that was signed into law in 1789, where they designated a national holiday called Thanksgiving. And I'm going to read that for you in just a little while, and you'll see that the whole reason they did this was to be thankful to God for his blessing. So the psalmist said, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Let's read on. He said, "And to sing praises to thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, and upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore." All right, let's pray, and then I want to speak to you tonight at on this Sunday night before Thanksgiving on the subject of it is good to give thanks. Let's pray. Our Father, we come tonight with thankful hearts. We're thankful for our salvation. We are thankful for our Bible. We're thankful for our church. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit that lives in our hearts. And Lord, we're just thankful for all of your many blessings to us. We sit here tonight in a warm building. We sit here on padded pews. We sit here with accomplished musicians who can accompany us as we sing praises to you. Oh, we've got so much to be thankful for. We all drove to church tonight in our vehicles, and we live in the greatest country on the planet, America. Oh, Father, you've been so good to us. And I pray tonight as we think on these things that you will help us to be a thankful people. And the Lord, we will not allow the things that that distract us during this week. We will not allow Black Friday, and we will not allow the sales and all the promotions and all of the turkey and the dressings and the pies and everything else. Will not allow the football to distract us from just stopping and giving you thanks for all that you've done for us. My, you've been good. And Father, I pray your blessings on the message now. Speak to our hearts. Help us to hear the message, not just with our ears, but with our hearts. And may the Word of God dig deep and do something in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Without a doubt, Thanksgiving is one of America's favorite holidays. They say that more people fly during Thanksgiving to go home to be with family than any other time during the year. Our forefathers realized where their blessings came from. They understood that. They wanted to take a day and give thanks to God for his abundant blessings upon their lives and upon the founding of their new country. The word thanks, or a form of the word thanks, like thankful or thankfulness, is found over 140 times in our Bibles. The psalmist David used the word throughout the Bible's hymn book, the book of the Psalms. The apostle Paul often spoke about being thankful and seemed always to be looking for an opportunity to thank the Lord, even in some situations where you would not think that the apostle Paul would be thankful. For example, when he was shipwrecked, he was thankful for that experience. When he was in jail at Philippi, you remember that? And the Bible says that at midnight they began to sing songs of praise and thanking the Lord for his blessings upon them. The prophet Daniel in the Old Testament was told that he was not allowed to pray. But the Bible tells us that he went up to his room at the hour of prayer, and he opened the window just like he did every day before he was told he was not allowed to pray, and he prayed anyway. And the Bible says that he prayed and he gave thanks before his God. If you'll read the story of Jonah, you will find out that when Jonah was swallowed by the whale, he said, "I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving." And of course, the Lord Jesus was constantly thankful and regularly gave thanks for the blessings that were heaped upon him by his heavenly Father. in the upper room, he gave thanks for the bread and for the cup before he served his disciples. And often he prayed and he thanked his Father for being with him and for enabling him to do all the things that he was able to do. Dr. Hudson used to say all the time, thankfulness is the oil of gladness that lubricates all of life's activities. That's a tremendous statement. Thankfulness is the oil of gladness that lubricates all of life's activities. On October the 3rd, 1789, George Washington signed a bill that designated a national holiday set aside for the nation to celebrate Thanksgiving. In the bill that Congress sent to him, these words are written: whereas both houses of Congress have requested me, and this was George Washington's words concerning the bill, whereas both houses of Congress have requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peacefully to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Now today, sadly, as I said a moment ago, referred to a moment ago in my prayer, Thanksgiving is often a sidebar to Black Friday shopping and to football games and to eating until you can't eat anymore. And somehow or another, the matter of thanking God for America and thanking God for his blessings upon our lives and thanking God for our freedom and for American values and for our way of life has been set aside. Let me challenge you this week, folks, that when you sit down to eat your Thanksgiving dinner, would you take just a moment and thank the Lord for what God has done in your heart and in your nation. Thank God that God has blessed you like he has. But now look at my text verse. If you look at verse 1, thanksgiving ought to be a part of our lives. Not just on Thanksgiving Day, but every day throughout the year, the people of God ought to be a thankful people. And I want you to notice there are three things that we learn about being thankful from this verse. Let's think about a couple of things here tonight. First of all, let's look at the perspective in the thanksgiving. The perspective in the thanksgiving. The psalmist said, it is a good thing to thank the Lord, or to give thanks unto the Lord. Now, again, let me ask you, how many times did you hear your mom or dad say to you when you were growing up, that will be good for you? We often do a lot of things that are bad for us, don't we? But the psalmist here says that there is something that you can do, and the psalmist said, it's good for you. This is good for you. And that good thing is to give thanks to the Lord. David said, hey, giving thanks to God is good for you. So why do you think it's good to give thanks? Well, let me make a couple of suggestions to you. First of all, I think thanksgiving will stop us from being covetous. Just think about that for a minute. When we are giving thanks to the Lord, we are concentrating on what we have, not what we do not have. You see that? And there's a world of difference right there. I mean, being thankful for what you have and not just sitting around bemoaning what you do not have. Thankful for what you've got. I can remember my mom and dad saying, hey, just be thankful for what you got. I remember when I was a kid, the kid across the street one year at Christmas got this Stingray bicycle. Oh my, it was the prettiest thing I'd ever seen in my life. I was only about 8 years old, and that was the prettiest bicycle I'd ever seen in my life. Had streamers coming off the handlebars. It was chrome everything, and it had one of those banana seats, and it was just absolutely wonderful. And I got a 36-inch Schwinn, just regular bicycle. And I just remember thinking, man, I wish I had that cool bike like Jeff's got. And I evidently complained about it, and my dad let me know that he could take it back. And I said, no, I don't want you to take it back. And he said, look, you be thankful for what you got. Now, I later found out that in a race, I could beat Jeff every time. So I became real thankful for my bicycle. But you know, it is good to give thanks. Why? Thanksgiving will stop us from being covetous. Secondly, thanksgiving will stop us from being cantankerous. Amen. I mean, when we are thankful for what God has given us, we're more cheerful in our own lives. Years ago, when I was pastoring at Dixie, down in Dixie, West Virginia, we had a guy in the church, and he was just about the grouchiest guy I think I ever met in my life. I mean, he was just a grouch. And we were always teasing amongst one another. Nobody would dare say anything to him. We're afraid, you know, we didn't want to get mad. We didn't know if he'd get mad. He wouldn't talk. He wouldn't smile. He wasn't happy. And a couple of, I'd only been there a couple of months, he overheard me saying that I needed some firewood. And so he said, Pastor, he said, a lightning hit a tree on my property, and if you want, you can come Saturday. I'll help you cut it up, and you can use my truck, and we'll cut it up, throw it in the truck, and bring it over here. And I said, okay, that sounds good. That sounds fine. Well, I was on pins and needles. I didn't know whether to joke or whether to, you know, how to behave. I didn't know, and so I got over there, and we started working. Well, we took a break, and he looked over me, and he said, I guess you can see that I'm not the happiest fellow around. And I said, really? And smiled when he said it. And I said, you know, Delmer, I really don't understand that. I said, you got a great wife and a great home and a nice family. I mean, I just don't understand. He said, I don't know what's wrong with me. He said, but I'm just not happy. And I said, let me ask you to do something. And he said, what's that? I said, sometime here in the near future, I said, I'd like for you to take a piece of paper, and I would like for you to just sit down and write all of God's blessings to you. And he looked at me and he said, well, it wouldn't do any good. And I said, hey, you never know. Well, the next week, he came into church, and when he made eye contact with me, he smiled from ear to ear. And honestly, folks, I think it's the first time I'd ever seen the man smile. I mean, people got out of his way. He was smiling. We didn't know if he was going to explode or what was going to happen. And he walked right straight to me, reached in his Bible, pulled out one of those yellow legal pad pieces of paper, front and back, was showing me, and he said, look, Pastor, I found out I've got a whole lot more to be thankful for than I ever realized. And that changed that man's life. Thankful people are not cranky people. And it's good. to praise the Lord and to thank the Lord. Then number three, not only will Thanksgiving stop us from being covetous and stop us from being cantankerous, but it'll also stop us from complaining. And you know, if the children of Israel had been thankful for their daily provisions when they were out in the wilderness, they would not have complained so much to God about their conditions. Thanksgiving will crowd out our complaining. I read a story. Do you know who Matthew Henry was? Matthew Henry, the commentator, the guy that wrote the Matthew Henry commentary. I'm sure that a lot of you have Matthew Henry's commentary. It's an excellent devotional commentary. It's not everything in it I recommend, but he does make some good points. And Matthew Henry not only was a brilliant man and a commentator, but he was a pastor as well. And one day he was robbed, and it scared him to death. And folks were wondering how we would respond to this traumatic event that happened in his life. And it rattled him and it shook him, and folks could see that he was very distraught over what had happened. And so everybody crammed into the church a couple of Sundays later when it was announced that he was going to be preaching his first sermon since his attack. And they all crammed in the building, and everybody was wondering, what was his response going to be? How was the old preacher going to handle being robbed? And so he stood before the congregation and he said to them, I have 4 points to my sermon this morning. Point number one, I am thankful because I have never been robbed before. Point number two, he said, I am thankful that the thieves took my money but not my life. Point number three, I am thankful that what they took wasn't much because I didn't have much. And point number four, I am thankful that I was the one robbed, not the one doing the robbing. Amen. Man, everybody in there was just thrilled to death with that response. And you know, it would take somebody who knew God the way Matthew Henry did to have a response like that. And the point is, folks, being thankful stopped him from complaining about what had happened to him. And he said, you can always, here was his point, you can always find something to be thankful for, even in the most difficult of situations. So that's why the psalmist said being thankful is a good thing that we can do. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. We often give people advice on how to live their lives. And we'll say to our kids, hey, this will be good for you. Or we'll say to our friends, you know, you ought to do this. So the best advice that I could give you tonight is the advice that David gives in this psalm when he said, it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Second thing I want you to notice, we saw the perspective in the thanksgiving, but secondly, let's notice the person that we are to thank. Look at your Bible. The psalmist tells us that we're to give thanks to the Lord. Now, this does not mean that we should not be thankful to people when they deserve our thankfulness. But the Lord is the first one to thank for our blessings. For sure, God sometimes uses people to bless us, does he not? Sure, the Lord will send somebody along to meet a need or to be a blessing to us, and we should thank them, but we also should thank the Lord. It's the Lord that sent them to us. And so it is certainly appropriate for us to thank someone who helps us as we go along life's road. But ultimately, it is God who blesses us, often using people to get his blessing to us. Several years ago, I got invited to go down to Dr. James Ellis's in Bessemer City, North Carolina, and preach at his Jubilee. And the honest truth of the matter is, Karen and I did not have two dimes to rub together. I mean, I think I had $3 in my pocket. And I told him I would come. And so I got in the car and I took off, 4-hour trip down to Bessemer City. And I got there and I was hungry, but I didn't get there in time to eat. They always have a meal before the service, and I didn't get there in time to eat. And so I was hungry. And I didn't have anything but $3, and the gas tank was below quarter. So I needed that $3 to put gas in the car to get home. A fellow stopped me at the door, and he said, did you get a room? And I said, no, I didn't get a room. I'm going to drive home tonight. And he said, are you crazy? And I said, well, I've been called crazy before. Yes, that's true. But I said, it's okay. I'll just drive home. I'll get home about 2:00 in the morning. That's no problem. And he said, well, I think you ought to stay. And I said, well, it'll be all right. The truth of the matter is, I didn't have the $60 or so that I didn't own a credit card. Nobody going to give me a credit card back in those days. And so it's okay. Don't worry about it. And so I preached, and after the service was over with, this fellow walked up to me, same guy, and he said, I want to give you something. Now, Dr. Ellis at the Jubilee, he takes an offering from you. You go preach, but the hand's out. It's for raising funds for the mission board. He never pays you when you go preach. Never. Not once. In 40 years, not once have I ever gotten paid for preaching at the Jubilee. That's not what it's about. But this night, this fella comes up to me, same guy who asked me if I was going to stay over. And he said, if I give you $60, will you stay over so I won't have to worry about you driving home tonight? And I said, sir, no. I am going home. I will be fine. I will make it home. Don't worry about me. And so he stepped back, he looked down, and I started to turn and walk away, and he said, wait a minute, preacher. And I stopped and turned around. He walked over and took a $100 bill, shook my hand with the $100 bill in it. And I said, sir, thank you, but I really don't need this. I was lying in church. I needed that more than I could breathe right there. I'll be honest with you. $3 was not going to get me home. And he said, no, I want you to have this. God told me to give it to you. So I smiled, hugged his neck, and thanked him, went out on the porch and held my hands up. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this money. God uses people, and we should thank people. But folks, it's God that often lays it on the heart to help somebody else. Now, be honest. Don't you just cringe when you see an unthankful person? And I suppose there are some folks who simply think the world owes them everything, but it's really sad to see some people who are unthankful for the things that are done for them. And the psalmist says here, we're to give thanks to the Lord. For you see, it is God who ultimately has blessed you in all things. Now, just think about for a minute. Think about what the Lord has done for you. Would you just think about it for a minute? Just think about it. There are 6 billion people on this planet. and your soul was born in America. Wow. Now that even gets more magnanimous when you think about this. There's 6 billion people on the planet, but there's only 350 million in America. And yet, you were born in America. Our republic was established to give you freedom and opportunity and liberties that the majority of the rest of the 6 billion on this planet don't know anything about. Folks, I've been overseas a multitude of times. I have felt like when we landed in New York, or when I landed in Charlotte, or when I landed in Columbus. I remember when I came back from Russia and I landed in Columbus, Ohio, and I felt like going out and bowing down and kissing the ground when we hit. There is no place like this place. There is no country like our country. The freedoms and the opportunity and the liberties. I have been to countries where I had to sneak out of the hotel and sneak into a parking garage and sneak into a car and drive around the city for hours on end before we went into a church to preach. And yet you can come to a church in America and open your Bible and just let her rip and nobody will say a thing to you about it. I'm telling you, folks, we're blessed to live in America. Thank God you live in America every day. I mean, you went to school and many of you then went on to college and you got a good job and you found someone to marry and you bought a home and you have 2 cars and you had children and grandchildren and there's plenty of joy in your home. You need to be thankful to God for what He's done for you. Then one day God worked in your life and somehow or another you heard the gospel. Man, I've never gotten over that. And I hope you never get over getting saved. You heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody either brought you to church or a soul winner came by and knocked on your door and sat in your home and took you through the Romans Road and showed you how to be saved. And through whatever set of circumstances, God enabled you. Now think about this. Out of 6 billion people on this planet, God enabled you to hear the gospel. Think about that. I'm telling you, you got a lot to be thankful for. And they took a Bible and shared the love of Christ with you. And God's Holy Spirit then kicked in and convicted your heart of sin and drew you to Christ. And you prayed and you asked the Lord to save you. And now that you're saved, your whole life has changed. I know mine is. Everything changed when I got saved. And you sit here tonight and you got peace with God. You have a church family and you are growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And not only that, you have the promise of an eternal home that awaits you in heaven. So death comes, big whoop, you're going to be with the Lord. Amen. To be absent in the body and to be present with the Lord. Oh, you got a lot to be thankful about. And my friend, I want you to know it was God that did all that for you. It was not any of us. It was God that did that for you. And I'm telling you, every one of us sitting in this room tonight who knows the Lord as personal Savior, every one of us needs to be thankful for God's blessings on your life. Then number 3, I want you to notice with me the praise in the thanksgiving. Look at the verse. He said, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Isn't it interesting how thanksgiving is associated with praise to God? If we fail to thank God, we fail in our praise to God. Recently, it's been within the last year, but recently, within the last year, a preacher friend of mine, I've preached for him a few times, and he's got a little 7-year-old son. And this boy is a character. I don't know how else to say it to you, but he is just a character. You never know what's coming out of that mouth. I mean, you just never know. Cute as he can be. And his dad told me that one day they went to eat at a restaurant after church. And they were all sitting in the restaurant eating their meal. And a family came in and sat down beside of them, and they ordered their food. And so the preacher and his family, they were about almost done with their meal when these other people got their food from the waitress. And the preacher said when they all got their food, they just tore into it. I mean, they just went at it like they hadn't had anything to eat in weeks. And that 7-year-old boy looked over at his daddy and said, "Dad, look at that." And the dad said, "What?" He said, "Those people are just like Bingo." And I said, "Bingo?" I said, "Bingo?" He said, "Yeah, that's the name of our dog." I said, "Boy, it's a good thing those people didn't know who Bingo was." He said, "Look at them, Dad. They're just like Bingo." Bingo doesn't pray for his food either when we feed him. You know, those who cannot thank God are not going to give much praise to God either. That's just that simple. You can honor God by giving thanks to Him in His blessings for your life. And folks, if you just think about God's blessings, it won't take you long until you're praising Him. And the simple truth of the matter is, all of us sitting here tonight have more to thank the Lord for than we realize. I heard about another preacher down in the hills of Arkansas, and he stood up to testify one night. Folks, people ask me all the time, say, "Pastor, why don't you ever have testimony time?" Well, this is why. I'm about to tell you why. I've had some experiences with that. You go down south, and they do that a lot. One time, I think I told you this one years ago, but I was down in Clay County, West Virginia, out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, the sun sat between the church and town. You know what I'm saying? That's how far out in the boonies we were. But we had a revival meeting. Oh my goodness. Packed every night. That church was packed. And when it got to Friday night, the place was just packed to the hilt. People were standing outside with the windows open, and people out on the porch looking in. You couldn't get them all in the building. Now, the building only would seat about 150 people. But nonetheless, I mean, that was amazing. They said they had not seen that church full in their lifetime. But it was full. By Thursday night, it was full. By Friday night, running over. And Friday night, the pastor said, "Well, this is last night of our revival." He said, "Does anybody have a testimony?" Well, boom, man. I mean, they started. And what they do is they fuel the testimonies. You know what I'm saying? "Oh, bless him, Lord. Oh, bless him." And boy, they fuel it. And before you know it, everybody and his dog is jumping up to testify. And I'm sitting on the front row thinking, I'm never going to get to preach tonight. They're going to keep this testifying stuff up. And they just kept jumping up. And this one guy jumped up and he said, "Well, I thank God I'm ignorant." And the preacher said, "Yes, Lord, bless him. He's got a lot to be thankful for." Well, I lost it. You know, they just have these cliches and they say them all the, "Yes, Lord, bless him. Yes, Lord, bless him. Thankful. Oh, we're thankful." And this guy said, "I thank God I'm ignorant." The preacher said, "Bless him, Lord. He's got a lot to be thankful for." And I'm sitting over here on the front row and the tears are literally running down my face. I could not stop laughing. That was the funniest thing I ever saw in my life. But I heard about a fellow down in the hills of Arkansas. This didn't happen to me. That other one did. And he stood up to testify one night. And he started praising God for all of God's abundant blessings. And he just went on and on and on. And he was naming all the ways that God had blessed him. And finally he said, "And I thank God I've only got two teeth." Now, when he said that, the preacher stopped and said, "Whoa, wait a minute. You thank God you've only got, why are you thanking God you've only got two teeth?" He said, "Because, praise the Lord, those two teeth meet." Now, think about it. Amen. I guess he had a point, didn't he? And the preacher looked at him and said, "Amen, brother, go on." Isn't that hilarious? That really happened. I think it would do all of us a ton of good to do more praising of the Lord. You know, we talk about praying more, and I agree we ought to pray more. But I tell you what, we ought to be praising more too. When David was wrapping up the Psalms, go over to the last Psalm, the very last one. Very last one, Psalm 150. All the way to the end of the Psalms. And David has been talking about praise. If you'll look at all these closing Psalms, they've all got the word praise in them somewhere, just about all of them. They talk about praising the Lord. Well, here's the end. Here's the wrap up. Look at verse 1. "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance." That dance is not dancing. It's the pipe, the organ, if you will. All right. "Praise him with the pipe, with the dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals." And here's how he ends it. "Well, just let everything that has breath praise the Lord." That's the bottom line. You have breath, you ought to be praising the Lord. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. And that's how he closes this book. If you're breathing, praise the Lord. And only a thankful person can do that. Only a person of understanding who realizes that he or she is the recipient of God's mercy and grace is going to stop and praise God for his blessings. Oh, my dear friend, would you realize tonight just how good the God of heaven has been to you? You sit here tonight with your faculties. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. I guarantee you could go to one of these homes around here, find somebody your exact age, no matter how old you are, how young you are. You could go to one of these care centers, one of these nursing facilities, one of these retirement homes, and you could find somebody your age who does not have their faculties. Oh, God's been good to you. You have health. You have your family. You have your church. You have your salvation. You have the Holy Spirit. You have a home and a roof over your head. You drove into church in your car. You have your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. You have your spouse who loves you in spite of yourself. Amen. I do. You have a Bible, God's eternal, inspired, infallible word. You have a Savior who will never leave you nor forsake you. You have an eternal home that awaits you in heaven. I think that you will agree with me that with all of God's blessings upon you, you ought to be a thankful person tonight.